keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, in Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And this is a quick reminder, a sentence or two, that the month of April is WFSK's Spring Fun Drive. 49 years of being faithful to this community. And community, it is your time to make a tax-deductible donation to support our services here at WFSK. You can go online and listen online all over the world at WFSKFM.org. You can listen to the broadcast or the music, whatever. And you can also hit the donate bar right there next to where you click on to listen. Very conveniently located. And you'll see the donate bars all over the website. And please do get on there and make your tax-deductible donation. Now, I had one. I'm going to reintroduce my pastors in just one quick second. I think I had one church announcement that's coming up. Let's see, April 22nd, which is Friday. This is from the Impact Church. And at 705 Rivergate Parkway in Goodlettsville, and they are having hosting their pastoral installation and consecration of Pastor Derek Faison. The officiant is Bishop T.D. Jakes. He's got two big things this week in Nashville.
Nashville's
he's got two things same week. Buy one plane.
So that means he'll probably be here from Wednesday on then, unless he's just flying back and forth. Yeah. But yeah.
That makes sense. Buy one ticket. Split the cost. Yeah. And the hotel. Anyway, that service is Friday night at 7. So that is the pastoral installation and consecration of Bishop, or Pastor rather, Derek Faison. And do try to check that out. And we also want to say congratulations, 30th anniversary to Bishop Joseph Walker the third, and he is celebrating there. The church has been celebrating his work at the church and legacy and etc. here in the Nashville area, nationally and internationally, all month long.
30 years is a long time.
It is. It is. Matter of fact, if you make it 20, that's a long time.
If you make it one, yeah. I guess we can ask the pastors that's on.
Well, I'm sure. Because Reverend Hobart, I didn't ask you, how long have you been the pastor over to St. Luke?
I have been at St. Luke for 14 years.
Okay.
14 years.
And that's a long time.
Yes, sir. Yes, okay.
Yeah, you got some. Yeah, you got some history. You see some children. You see some children grow up in that church for sure. And tell the audience, Reverend Troy Hobart, where St. Luke Missionary Baptist Church is located.
It is located on 2704 Torbert Street in Northwest Nashville. It's right off 28th Avenue North, behind Sweats. There's a street that runs horizontal to Sweat. Mm-hmm. You come up 28, turn left, and we're on the left-hand side.
Okay. Those landmarkers help, you know, a lot. And also with me this morning is Reverend Davey Tucker, Jr. of Beach Creek Missionary Baptist Church. And Reverend Tucker, tell the audience where Beach Creek is, please.
3101 Curtis, which is right on the corner is on Pima Vista. Right over in the North Nashville area.
Okay. So you all have time. They said you can get to their service at 11 o'clock. You can listen to them here, be inspired, and go see them in person this morning at 11. And before, Reverend Tucker, before I go back to what you were saying, because I do want to definitely do that, is there any protocol there, mask, hand sanitizer? What do you have going on at Beach Creek?
Well, we're still, we are in person, and we're also online. You can catch us on Facebook, and then it's later posted to the YouTube channel. Or you can come in person if you we follow the CDC guidelines. Mm-hmm. And so, but our thing has been as of late that if you're comfortable, come on. If not, you can join us online.
Did that impact your service? You know, I've heard multiple things from the pastors over this pandemic period, and some were concerned at first that they were going to lose everybody, and it was, you know, woe is me. And then the Lord fixed it, because a lot of them gained extra people, got more donations in, more giving, and it surprised them. So we took that situation, and it ended up being a blessing for the church when they was raising, you know what, Cain and Abel. They was raising it. H-E double hockey sticks. They were raising it, because I have had many of them on here mad that you couldn't go in and this and that. But what was the impact on Beach Creek?
Well, I did not want to participate in anything that could possibly be detrimental to a member of our faith community. So the second Sunday in March, we started online, and we stayed that way. Mm-hmm. We continued our after-school program. Even when school was not in, we continued to feed children. Mm-hmm. So for me, I don't know. I've tried to get to a place where I let God handle God's things, and hopefully I go along with the work that I understand God wants me to do, the miracle is when he joins me in his work. Amen. So we survived. In fact, I think we're still thriving. I can't say I was surprised. I am grateful. I have an adage anyway. I'm not going to beg for money. I got to deal with whatever's in the plate. So we've been blessed.
Amen. Amen. So what was your experience, Reverend Holbert, over to St. Luke?
Same thing with similar experience with Pastor Tucker. Of course, when the pandemic hit, we definitely closed our in-person worship and went virtual and conference call as well. And we did that up until Easter of last year. And we then open our campus up to our members. And I'm going to be completely honest, when we shut down or closed the in-person worship, there was some concern. But God always works it out, and our members started giving online and tuning in. I had members, believe it or not, that had struggled getting to worship and Sunday school and Bible study in person that started logging in every week. I mean, they look forward to that. Just interesting how that dynamic works. And so then we definitely opened up our doors again. We shut down a little bit in January when there was a spike in the numbers. And again, we opened our doors. And my challenge has been, believe it or not, is really re-engaging the members to coming back to the sanctuary. It's been a challenge for them coming back. But however, the fellowship, the continuity, you know, the other means where we have Zoom and Facebook Live, we're able to engage in fellowship and, believe it or not, engage in ministry. Our protocols at this point, when you come to worship, you have the option of wearing your mask. We do follow the CDC guidelines, wearing your mask. We sanitize our building. You can sit, you know, we practice social distances. Or Or if you feel comfortable, you don't necessarily have to wear your mask. We've opened that up as well, whatever feels comfortable. But most of our members, including myself, unless I'm preaching, I'm going to have on a mask just to, again, continue to engage in, you know, protecting our members from this deadly virus.
Amen. Well, you know, the reason why I really wanted to hear that from you all is I'm checking with all my pastors when I hear from you, because I still continue to do everything that I do here, including my monthly roundtables and my this and that's during the pandemic. And there were some that, you know, this turned out, you know, like the Lord had a blessing for, I think, some of the churches, and they did not want to receive it. They were angry and just doing all kinds of stuff. And, it was just a different time period in watching Christians react. And then even in the leadership and their reaction. And so every report so far, and actually you can correct me if I'm wrong, every report we have heard from the pastors over at least the last 7 or 8, 9 months, mm-hmm. has been positive in terms of growth, mm-hmm. and things of that nature versus how it was, mm-hmm. when that first year in 20 and a lot of 21, when they were just hopping mad, some of them were.
Yeah, a lot of the from not just on the show, but what I've been able to ascertain over the past couple of years is that a lot of churches and pastors, irregardless of denomination and color, that if they did not shift to online and online giving, that was pretty much the end of those ministries. If they didn't sort of move where things were heading, and some of them who fought that, that's exactly what happened.
Well, and I just think the observation is they were mad and thinking, you're not going to take me for my Jesus and all this stuff. And come to find out, the Lord took that as a way to bless.
Because in the very beginning, there was so much confusion between
and
faith and
sowing seeds,
getting sick and keeping the doors open versus should we, you know, just in the very beginning, there was so much confusion. And I think that's what attributed to, I guess, the statement that I just previously made. So, yeah.
Well, but it was difficult at times.
And arguing amongst a lot of the clergy about,
well,
you know, closing
point.
The doors.
That's
should we close the doors? Well, should we not close the doors?
That's just, my point. Go ahead, Reverend Tuck. What were you going to say?
Well, that, and you're so right. But for some of us, this was, as I said earlier, I was not going to participate in subjecting members to possible harm. Mm-hmm. So faith and fear was not the argument. To me, that came straight out of hell. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. People died and people continued to die. And so, for me, it was easy. I'm not going to bring folk up in here to die. And so, those arguments, to me, put people at risk, but they also showed that church tends, or it seems like in some cases and places, is moving on something else other than the gospel of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, maybe this was a clearing. Maybe this was a divine cleansing. I don't know. I don't know, and I'm not even saying that it was. I'm just saying that the arguments that went on for me and for some folk I know, I was not going to be involved in them when I know that church is not the building. Church is the individuals who share a common belief that wherever they gather, God promises to be with them. And we were given this opportunity to actually live by faith. Mm-hmm. If you look at Exodus, it wasn't the concern about who was in the house, but whether or not the house had blood on the house. Mm-hmm. And we always concerned about who's in the house, mm-hmm. when the house needed to be safe. Mm-hmm. And the house was not safe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's your thought, Reverend Hobart?
totally concur and agree with Pastor Tucker. When this thing hit, there were those that used scripture, and it was definitely incorrectly interpreted incorrectly about the assembling of yourselves together. I believe in Hebrews, which was totally taken out of context. Mm. And I agree. I was not going to engage in anything that was going to put my people, put the people that attended St. Luke, the people that I served in St. Luke, put them in harm. Mm-hmm. Because, again, Jesus didn't die that we would get sick. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus died that we would live. Mm-hmm. And so in looking at that, I made some critical decisions along with several to go ahead and say, you know, we can worship anywhere, and we're going to continue to do that. And then it also takes us back, as Pastor Tucker alluded to, on, you know, what the church really is, right? Mm. I preached a sermon a couple of weeks, and I talked about a church without walls, right? That we do not necessarily have to operate within the temple, the synagogue, the church center, but we can operate where we are and engage in effective ministry. So to continue, and I don't, you know, get into what other people do, if they continue to you know, engage in bringing people back to the building too soon or never shutting their doors. Mm-hmm. Because there were those that never shut their doors. If you just put on a mask, mm-hmm. and if you have faith, you know, you ain't going to die. Well, that's not even biblical. You know, so I just think that we just, you know, we have to, sometimes, a friend of mine, we always say, it just makes sense, you know, to do those things that is going to preserve the life and the legacy of our people, right? Yeah. You know, and because, we're not a body, we're not a building, we're a body. Amen. You know, and we are the body of Jesus Christ. So I can go on and on. So you asked me the wrong question about that.
Well, I think y'all have set the record straight today, because I said, you know, out of this thing came a blessing, though. As strange as it was, and as much tussling and carrying on, it was like wrestling steers sometimes with some of the people. And, you know, can't take me from my King Jesus. And I'm like, what? Okay. I mean, it was just, it turned into something. It was like the Discord Fest. It just turned into 1,000 seeds of discord being sown. And I'm like, well, Jesus is supposed to be in you. I just didn't. But, you know, I just found that very, very interesting, because it was such a spark nationwide, not just locally, you know, nationally. That was, you know, people fussing and carrying on and discord sowing. And I mean, it was just kind of, that's why I feel a certain way sometimes, Reverend, about we're doing a disservice to Christ with this carrying on, and about stuff that has nothing to really do with what he's asking us to do. And you were sort of on your way to that before the break, Reverend Tucker. When we come back, because I know that they're going to go on high at their services today at 11 o'clock. I just warned the people that's going to St. Luke and Beach Creek that your pastors are going to preach today like no other. And so you're going to enjoy their services. When we come back, we want to talk about some things involving Resurrection Sunday. And if you have a question or a comment, want to speak to the pastors this morning, you're welcome to do that. My number is 615-329-8810, 615-329-8810. Let's take this time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, Independent Agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. WFSK's Spring Fun Drive is in full effect, and we need your continued support here at Nashville's Jazz Station, now more than ever. Since 1973, WFSK has not only committed to keeping the community informed and uplifted, but kept the solid sound of jazz music playing in Nashville for almost 50 years. Your tax-deductible donations to nonprofit WFSK help to defray the cost of operating the station and keep it going strong for years to come. To give online, visit our website at WFSKFM.org. Click on the donate bar. In person, come by our offices during regular business hours. And of course, by mail. Make your checks payable to WFSK and then send them to WFSK, 1000 17th Avenue North, Nashville, 37208. We thank you so much in advance for your continued support and look forward to hearing from you.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is being brought to you by Nashville State Community College.
Nashville State Community College, with over 80 programs preparing you to go right to work or transfer easily to a university after graduation. Increase your career earning potential with an associate degree or technical certificate earned at Nashville State. College credits earned at Nashville State can transfer to public and private four-year institutions. Academic, financial, and abundant support available. Nashville State Community College will give you a place of belonging. Apply today. Summer and fall registration starts April 4th. On-campus assistance available or visit nscc.edu.
All of April, Jazz Night in America honors the latest class of NEA Jazz Masters. Next up, drummer and educator Billy Hart.
I've gathered enough material. If I had to stop traveling as much, I'd have enough to study for the rest of my life.
Peer inside the wisdom of a forever student. That's next time on Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is being brought to you by Mount Zion Baptist Church.
Mount Zion Baptist Church, Nashville, celebrates the 30th pastoral anniversary of Bishop Joseph W. Walker III for 30 years of leadership, love, and legacy. Celebrate with us in person or virtually via YouTube or Facebook Wednesday, April 20th at 7 p.m. as we welcome guest speaker Bishop T.D. Jakes and gospel artist Leandre Johnson to our Old Hickory Boulevard location. For more details, please visit MountZionNashville.org. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Already in Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And remind you over and over that early voting has started. Started on Wednesday and goes through Thursday the 28th. And now on this Wednesday the 20th is when all the voting locations are open around this county. And but between now and then, you go over to the Sunny West Conference Room in the Howard Office Building on 2nd Avenue South to early vote. And I'm going to my early voting place in the library in my neighborhood. There's libraries all over the city. And if you want the complete information, go on to the polling locations. Go to nashville.gov/vote or give them a call tomorrow at 615-862-8800 and let your voice be heard. Now, because your vote is your voice. And I am happy to have with me this morning Reverend Troy Hobart, pastor of St. Luke Missionary Baptist Church. Pastor Hobart, service time and location.
We are located at 2704 Torbert Street in Northwest Nashville. Our service time is 11 o'clock a.m.
And also happy to have Reverend Davey Tucker, Jr. of Beach Creek Missionary Baptist Church. Time and location of today's service.
3101 Curtis, right off of Buena Vista Pike. Service starts at 11.
Amen. So you all have options today, and I hope that you will go and participate in their services, and either online or in person. And Reverend Tucker, I want to go back to something that you had talked about early on, and that is, I was on the subject of renewal and different things of that nature, and then you started talking about something that I really wanted to go into, and I do know this is Resurrection Sunday, but all this points in the direction of what we're supposed, lessons that we're supposed to be learning as Christians during this Holy Week and this whole experience. And could you speak more on that? Because we're not letting our light shine like we could. Some of us are, but many of us are not.
Well, again, it gets back to the idea of what the gospel is. The gospel literally means good news. Now, what we've done is, I believe, in error. The good news is not good news to everybody. For the proclamation of God's care and concern about his creation, not only that soul, but the body that was painstakingly put together to house that soul. So, if you're not for human thriving and the eradication of human suffering, don't tell me about your God. There's nothing from, that's just a place that I can't get with. When you look at the church landscape, it is as though just as when they crucified him, there is a collusion between the church and the state, that the church has become an arm of the state, whereas the church ought to trouble the state. The church ought to discomfort the state, because the state cares not for God's creation. And Christ's death, burial, and resurrection again empowers us to live in a way that you can stand and speak truth to power, because there's nothing beyond this life that you can do to me. And so we get groups, we get churches who sell us a bag of hope, not speaking to what's wrong with me today. I'm reminded of James, Jesus' brother, who says, you know, you run into a person who's in need of daily bread, and the best thing you do is offer a prayer. I don't do public prayers. The king, the mayor, the governor can't call me to pray. I'm insulted when you do. I need you to do the right stuff every day, because the choices you make have an impact on the bodies that God created.
Amen. Can't get no more clear than that. And Reverend Hobart, this April, or this month that we're in, is a month where a lot of Christian holiday, or religious holidays rather, not necessarily all Christian, a lot of religious holidays are that cross races and cultures. Can you speak on that? And as it is a worldwide, not just United States, but it's globally, this period right now in time is very, very significant.
Absolutely. It is definitely significant as it relates to, of course, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I do challenge the way we do it, that as it reaches beyond races, cultures, that we understand that the gospel is a liberating gospel to set us free in all aspects of the world. And so if there's still, and I'm careful, I'm going to push it, if there's still racism and prejudice that still exists, you know, if we're still engaging in social injustice and police brutality as it relates to all races, we have to deal with that. Because when Jesus came, and I'm right there with Pastor Tucker, when Jesus came, he came to set at liberty those that were captive, those that were oppressed in Luke chapter 4. That's what the gospel is all about. So although, and I totally agree, it reaches, it should unite us, we also have to deal with those issues that affect us and keep us from operating to our fullest capacity as citizens of not only the United States, but across our world today.
Amen. And this month, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam all fall in this month of April. And they all symbolize different things to different cultures and different people in different places. Reverend Tucker, can you talk about that? Because there are some things that do cross. And I know Christians don't, you know, like this or that, or folks in Islam, this and that. But I mean, there are some things that do cross in terms of faith and renewal, and there's a lot of areas that cross if we took some time to examine.
Well, that to me is the biggest church split that ever happened. We all share everything from Abraham on back. And so for me, I separate from what I know from what I believe. And so whatever anybody cherishes that's good enough for them to die with, I'm bound to honor that. I also know that the God of everything is bigger than the Bible and bigger than Christianity. Now, what that means, I don't know. But I do believe that there is a God somewhere that is involved in all of this. Jesus even said, I have sheep of this fold that you know not of that I'm going to bring with me too. So my job is not to sell Christianity by using what I consider to be the error somewhere else. Whether or not Christianity is a choice a person makes has to stand on Christianity alone. Because if we really think about it, most of when you look at the Abrahamic faiths, they share some similarities that for me, it's not problematic. I'm not going to sit down to a debate. If you are for human thriving and the eradication of human suffering, let's get to work. Let's get to work. Because I was arrested earlier in the week. I was scrolling through NPR, and I was captured by the photo before I was the byline. It looked like it was the naked back of a five-year-old or something, and it turned out to be. And there was scribbling on the child's back. Well, when I read the story, it was a mother preparing to try to leave Ukraine.
And in her preparation, she wrote her daughter's name, her birth date, and two phone numbers on her back in indelible ink in case she got separated from her. A mama anywhere ought not have to go through that. Nor should a mama in sub-Saharan Africa have to walk 50 miles to try to get some wheat because now Ukraine, who is the breadbasket of wheat to Africa, now wheat is slowing up. A woman walks 50 miles. The last 3 miles, her baby dies. She walks the rest of the way, and she says, yes, I got bread, but I got it too late. And you, so I just asked a simple question. Is the God of everything okay with this? And we asked for miraculous intervention when it was human intention that started it. Why not go back to the human intention and say, undo this crap? I could go on and on. I hear your music coming up, and I watch enough TV to know that I should be coming to an end right there.
Then we're going to put the powers on it right there. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot. Because we're, you know, we're sitting in this 30-day period, the Ramadan, with Passover, and with Easter Resurrection Sunday.
And might I add,
and that's a lot.
And might I add, as we go to break there, those are some of the things I've been talking about all the time, that collectively on the globe, the body of Christ, we have to speak more truth to power to this type of stuff.
We're not even, we can't even have a conversation with somebody from another religion without having a fight. And you know that's the facts. And you know it.
Even within
you
our
know
own.
It because I'm just saying, and let's take the break. Because, see, you're about to say something. And I'm about to say something. And I know my reverends are right. About to say something.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot to be said about this.
You're right.
You know, I mean, here we sit in April, and every person of religious faith out there is celebrating something. So, you know, can we all just get along? Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
WFSK is reminding you that your vote is your voice. Early voting for the upcoming county primary election runs now through Thursday, April 28th. The actual election day is Tuesday, May 3rd. Why wait? Early vote now. Many important seats for various offices are on this year's ballot. For hours and locations, contact the Davidson County Election Commission at 615-862-8800 or nashville.gov/vote.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is being brought to you by Nashville State Community College.
Nashville State Community College, with over 80 programs preparing you to go right to work or transfer easily to a university after graduation. Increase your career earning potential with an associate degree or technical certificate earned at Nashville State. College credits earned at Nashville State can transfer to public and private four-year institutions. academic, financial, and abundant support available. Nashville State Community College will give you a place of belonging. Apply today. Summer and fall registration starts April 4th. On-campus assistance available or visit nscc.edu. WFSK's Spring Fun Drive is in full effect, and we need your continued support here at Nashville's Jazz Station, now more than ever. Since 1973, WFSK has not only committed to keeping the community informed and uplifted, but kept the solid sound of jazz music playing in Nashville for almost 50 years. Your tax-deductible donations to nonprofit WFSK help to defray the cost of operating the station and keep it going strong for years to come. To give online, visit our website at WFSKFM.org. Click on the donate bar. In person, come by our offices during regular business hours and, of course, by mail. Make your checks payable to WFSK and then send them to WFSK, 1000 17th Avenue North, Nashville, 37208. We thank you so much in advance for your continued support and look forward to hearing from you.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is being brought to you by Mount Zion Baptist Church.
Mount Zion Baptist Church, Nashville, celebrates the 30th pastoral anniversary of Bishop Joseph W. Walker III for 30 years of leadership, love, and legacy. Celebrate with us in person or virtually via YouTube or Facebook Wednesday, April 20th at 7 p.m. as we welcome guest speaker Bishop T.D. Jakes and gospel artist Leandre Johnson to our Old Hickory Boulevard location. For more details, please visit MountZionNashville.org. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK on this Resurrection Sunday, Easter 2022. And happy to have the 411 Show's annual Resurrection Sunday broadcast with Reverend Davy Tucker Jr. of Beach Creek Missionary Baptist Church and Reverend Troy Hobart of St. Luke Missionary Baptist Church. So, X, go on and pull it back in. And see, I don't even know why when we go on the break, you go on them long touchdowns.
I told you to stop doing that.
Okay?
That's Pastor Tucker's fault.
Okay,
that ain't my fault.
Right. I told you. He heard the music. He knew what to do. But no, not you. Now, see, Ray, you don't know how many times I got to take him to the woodshed behind
that. It's not that. It's that, see, we were taught, and you pick up on it when you hear it sometimes because you're waiting to hear it. And so what Pastor Tucker just did was, you know, we were taught in school to go deep behind the text and find out what's going on. And Pastor Troy, he knows as well. We know that when he talks about the bread and the wheat and the people on the having to go through what they're going through and putting a face on the gospel. And explain, because those are the things when we're preaching that most people when they read the Bible will sometimes miss. And so when you put a face on it, when you put the gospel into living, breathing terms and explain this is what it should look like, and when you don't push back, this is what happens. Now people are able to get it. But if you don't speak it, people can miss it. And especially if you don't speak it against people who will use whatever reason, like I just saw online, that there's a prominent son of a pastor who's world renowned, who said, you know, pray for Vladimir Putin, and, you know, which, of course, we should, but he just whitewashes the whole thing.
We should? Okay.
Pray for everybody, you know what I mean? But I'm just saying, but it whitewashes what, you know, Pastor Tucker just said. So that's how I digress. Yeah.
Well, I can't listen to that false prophet, man. I cannot. I don't even put my eyes on that garbage. And I can just about imagine who you're talking about. But what my, you know, and if either one of you all want to respond to what he said, because Reverend Tucker, you got all this started, okay?
Well, I don't know much, but I'm going to share what I believe.
Okay.
Okay, and you don't have Christianity without Judaism. You don't. Jesus got jacked up at Passover.
Yes.
He didn't come to do away with Passover. He came to participate in Passover. And so when Christianity, as it does so often, want to throw others in the river, it throws itself in the river. Because there's no way that God is no bigger than Christianity. Because that means what happened to those before Christianity? Nobody was redeemed. God's spirit did not move. The prophets were operating on something. I'm just trying to go to heaven. And I'm not sure I got it made. I am always haunted by Christ's words. That many on that day will say, Lord, Lord, have I not? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Which suggests that there are folk who think they okay with God today that won't find out until they get to the gate that they ain't never been. So God didn't give me no brick to throw at other folk. Jesus' life paints a model. If any man should come after me, you must deny yourself. It can't be all about you. Mm-hmm. You must take up your cross. Everybody got something to contribute to the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And it ain't your words.
Mm-hmm.
It's your life. It's your behavior. Mm-hmm. I say all the time, you can't do big justice. You can't get out here on a march. You can't speak truth to power if you don't live with little justice.
Mm-hmm.
How you treat your family, how you treat your neighbors, how you treat your kids, your recognition of the humanity in everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do little justice, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not.
Mm-hmm.
Fathers, don't aggravate your children to wrath. That's little justice. And if we can get that, then big justice makes sense. But when we dog our women and subjugate them and our children are only to be seen and not heard, you can't do big justice because you ain't living little justice. Again, let me shut up, because I still got to preach today.
I know. That's why I said y'all going to get ready for 11 o'clock service today. Reverend Hobart, I know you got something to say because you're awful quiet right now.
Yeah, I'm just taking it all in. And I tell you, you know, one of my mentors said something that's very, in my opinion, that's affected my life. He says that we're in labor, God's in manage. And I really believe that it is our challenge as, you know, believers in Christ, right, that we make an impact here on society and we look at the things that have affected us, and when I say us, I'm talking about the whole, have affected us in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to those things that have not made us progressive and productive, and deal with those things, and look those things right in the face. You can't get right out of what's going on with Russia and Ukraine, and there's no reason that we try to color the gospel to make it look like it's okay, right? We have to really speak to those things as though they are. Because it's not necessarily about we being good people and having good work. Because there were good people back in the days of old.
Mm-hmm.
And as Pastor said, it's really not about being good, but it's about impacting somebody's life in a positive way and preaching that liberating gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be not only in what we say, but in what we do.
Amen. And knowing that that's the case, I'm going to go back to April, and three major religions are all in this same thought process mindset, and we have absolutely no love for our fellow man, and we have the nerve to be so judgmental. I'm talking about in Judaism and in Islam and in Christianity. All of us are in the midst of something during the month of April. But when I'm just wondering, when is it going to reflect on the hearts and minds of the people? We have Easter, Resurrection Sunday, and Easter marks the end of the Passover, and Passover is in Judaism, and Ramadan is being celebrated by people in Islam, all during the month of April. And I just, you know, to me, this is a particularly reflective time that I think, as all of us in our religious, faith-based religious mindsets, ought to be reflecting on some things, because there's some symbolism in these three areas of religion. There's sacrifice that takes place. There's also feast and fasting and things of that nature. There are some behaviors that are in the midst of all of these three things. And I just, you know, so, you know, I just wanted to, because this is a, I don't remember April in prior years, but it just struck me that there's, you know, half the planet ought to be celebrating in the, you know, God Almighty. Well, now, I mean, that's just what I'm saying. I know the Islam, you know, believes in what they believe in, but I'm just saying this is a very unusual month.
Well, I have colleagues, close colleagues, friends, mm-hmm. that we have even shared in service together. Mm-hmm. You take Passover. Jesus, to me, is a re-exertion of God's Passover. Mm-hmm. Passover celebrates the children of Israel being freed from mm-hmm. Egyptian slavery. That resonates with me. Mm-hmm. Ramadan is about fasting to draw yourself back to God mm-hmm. around the five pillars of Islam. Christianity holds Lent, which is about fasting and reflection to come back to God.
My point.
What happens when all people do that?
That's the thing. I'm just, help me. Help me, preacher.
But you know, you have to be, I call it the sin of certainty. Hmm. We want to put knowledge on things that are faith. My faith starts where my knowledge ends. There's not a confluence. What I know are the things that I know that can be proved and repeated. What I believe are those things that reside in me that I have to separate from what I say I know. And again, I don't know whose names are written in the book of life. I've never looked at it. I don't know who's going to get in or who's not going to get in. I don't know. But I believe that God is gracious.
Yes.
I believe that God has an enduring love for his creation. Mm-hmm. I believe that God watches, and God even cries mm-hmm. when his creation exacts cruelty on each other. It's not that we're praying for God to intervene when God has already empowered us to change this dynamic immediately. You got a governor who claims to be a Christian, mm-hmm. who has the money. The state, the federal government has guaranteed the money for almost a decade and will not expand Medicaid and Medicare. Mm-hmm. And there are folk who are uninsured and underinsured,
yes.
and you care not about it. I remember when the woman came to Jesus with the issue of blood, the text says she had spent all she had.
Mm-hmm.
our communities that have spent all they have.
That's right.
This idea of critical race theory is crazy. Mm-hmm. You got to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. We can't talk about race if we cannot acknowledge, which means agree, mm-hmm. on what has happened in the past.
That's true.
And so you got these folk who are claiming to be with God, and what you're doing is showing truth seekers, because
yes.
I'm not trying to be right. I'm not trying to win an argument. I just want to know.
Yeah, amen. Well, we don't want to tell history, so don't read the Old Testament, because that is nothing but history. And for the folks that want to cover it up and act like there was no... people went through changes. It was slavery and all kind of human behavior that folks are trying to act like, oh, it's going to hurt my children to know. Well, I don't know. Just don't read it. It'll be too much for your kids. And that's exactly what some of that is based around, just not wanting to know true history, wanting to revise it. I don't know how they could revise the scripture. I don't know how they could do that.
Well, you do when you change the symbols and you make Jesus real white.
Yes, you do.
And you bow his shoulders. He's always somewhere sitting. The pictures of Jesus that I see is not the Jesus that he had to look like when he turned over the tables and said that this is supposed to be a house of prayer.
Yes.
But you laid it a den of thieves. You can't be toting a lamb, walking all weak, looking all soft, and go in where people they paid booth rent at the temple.
Yes.
The chief priests and the scribes let them in there. That's like going to the flea market, turning over the tables when folks have paid to be in there. Jesus was radical.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it, his life was radical, but think about the radicality of resurrection.
Mm.
And the thought of how violence, mm-hmm. and the threat of death keeps us in check so much.
Mm.
But resurrection says you can't check me.
Mm.
So if you knock me back, if you knock me down, God will get me back up. Resurrection, to reconstruct, to stand up again. If you don't get that out of Easter, you're always waiting for your ship to come in. My ship came in 2,000 years ago.
Amen. Say that.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
That's right.
Because he lives, all fear is gone. And if folk lived in their resurrection, walls would come down, mm-hmm. families could be healed,
mm-hmm.
communities would get better, evil regimes would have to change,
yes,
because
the people
would no longer cooperate.
Amen.
That's what they were scared of when they killed Jesus.
That certainly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Reverend Tucker, I know you're just getting going. And I told the members of Beach Creek to be there at 11 o'clock. And I trust that y'all are hearing me today, and you're going to do it because he got something for you. And so does Reverend Troy Hofer of St. Luke Missionary Baptist Church. We're going to close on this. Reverend Hofer, tell everybody service time and address one more time.
Service time is at 11 a.m. Our address is 2704. Corbett Street in Northwest Nashville.
And Reverend Tucker, where's Beach Creek?
3101 Curtis Road, 37218, right on the corner of Buena Vista Pike.
And they start at 11. Now we're gonna do our tag team prayer on a brief note, and y'all gonna close us up with a word of prayer. We're gonna start with you, Reverend Hobart, and you can finish us up, Reverend Tucker. Reverend Hobart, go ahead.
Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord God, for this privilege of being able to share again in this space, to share with the community, to share with those that are tuned in the biblical truths of Jesus Christ. Moreover, we celebrate the resurrection, your death, burial, and resurrection. And so, Lord God, may it impact us in a real way. And as we attempt to unite together to celebrate today, let us not remember that you have come that we may have life and have it more abundantly, yeah. to liberate us, to set us free from those things that have entangled us. Now, Lord God, we ask that you will bless every church, every pastor, every preacher, everyone that is connected today, and those that are not connected. We pray that you will touch in a real way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Reverend Tucker, I know what you said, and if you don't feel comfortable, then...
No. I'm fine here.
Okay, cool. All right, go ahead.
God tells Moses that when you bless my people, you don't get to make up the words. Every time you bless them, God told him, you say this. And I offer this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Beautiful. Amen. I'm going to leave you with something real short. Acts 3:15. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. You will have the very best of the best on this Resurrection Sunday. And don't forget who sacrificed and who loves you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.